This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
What up, Big Ten? Happy Friday, boxers! Get in and do this.
Oh my God, I'm going to get so drunk this weekend.
Are you?
Long weekend.
That's surprising to me. It's something I've never heard you even just think about before.
No, I've been doing pretty good, but I'm going hard this weekend.
Now, what did I see? By the way, Nick is here. I'm here. We're going to be here for the next 3 hours. We're going to have a good time on a Friday, as we always do. Sports, yes. Other stuff, for sure. So if you like it, great. If you don't, you'll work with us. We'll work with you. Okay, so I saw your tweet last night. You're going to be weaning yourself off of brown liquor and focus more on tequila?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? What difference does that make?
Clear is better for hangovers, man.
Oh, you're so foolish. Never mind.
Woohoo! That was close.
Clear is better?
For hangovers?
How about taste? How about taste? When does that factor in? Because tequila tastes horrible.
Worse than whiskey?
Yeah.
I don't think people would agree with you on that.
Oh, well, I might be in the minority, but I know what my taste buds prefer, and I'll take whiskey over tequila any day.
Now, there's nothing wrong with a solid, good quality whiskey. You know I love whiskey, but
you gotta have a mixer for it. I'm not saying just doing straight shots.
Well, that's what I was doing yesterday. Z Tequila, apparently it's bottled in Austin. A little love for you, but that Z Tequila goes pretty hard. It goes pretty hard.
Does it go pretty hard or do you? Or both?
I go pretty hard, too.
Yeah.
I got this recommendation from a guy by the name of Wes. I'm at this bar, and of course he's like, I know John Granato. I'm like, of course you do.
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't know John Granato? He's like, I used to work at Nick's place, and my name is Wes. And Granato dubbed me Ankle Bracelet or Ankle. Apparently his nickname is Ankle, and apparently he worked at Nick's place. And he knows John Granato. So he was the one that was recommending all this different tequila. I took to Twitter and got some fantastic recommendations. Shout out to Eric Sandler, the food critic, the food genius here on the fourth floor. And he gave me some good suggestions as well. So, yeah, I had a good time last night. And guess what? I'm going to have another good time tonight.
I'm happy when you have a good time.
And you're going to come with.
No, I'm not.
You and Lisa. Y'all going to find some babysitters, and we're all going to get hammered.
Bro, let me just tell you something. So Lisa's at work. I'm at the house. Today is Taylor's kindergarten graduation, and we're not allowed to be there. So they have a live Zoom set up so you can watch what's going on.
Okay.
You're going to find this out whether you have kids or not. But for some reason, at a certain point, it's not that you become full Barry Laminack, but like you get emotional. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, you know, they're announcing these kids, and when they come up, they get their certificate, and then they talk about they also got these awards or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Taylor gets up there, and I'm just like, oh, God. Like,
oh, you're about to tear.
Start welling up a little bit because they start talking about, you know, where she really excelled and what they noticed. And then, of course, I don't know where this comes from, but the teacher goes, well, from the time you got here, Taylor, we realized that your vocabulary and the way that you speak and you really execute by using your hands as well, it's almost like an adult. And we see you as being like an actress or doing something like
that.
And they can, and I'm going,
wow.
And so Lisa's texting me. She goes, I'm straight bawling right now. I go, yeah, I'm not there, but I get it.
Yeah.
And I'm proud as hell of her.
Proud father moment and mama moment,
but I'm
going to
tell you something. So here's the kicker. So I don't know who's in her class, really, except for a couple friends that she carried over from her old school. But I do know, Nick, and we had this conversation briefly, I think, on a previous show, but I do know that there is a child by the name of Jake. I know that there is a child by the name of Jake because Taylor always mentions Jake. And when I ask who Jake is, oh, Jake is my really good friend, and Jake really likes me. I go, what do you mean he likes you? So I'm looking for Jake. So Jake comes up there to get his awards. And Jake's got a dress shirt and a vest, but his tie is, and a tie, but the tie is outside of the vest. And I'm going, okay. And then I go, oh, there's Jake. So I text Lisa and I go, I got my eyes on this kid. And she goes, you mean our future son-in-law? I go, you didn't need to go there.
Wow. Wow.
She came home yesterday, Nick. She goes, Jake's mad at me. Okay, why? Jake saw me talking to another boy. I'm like, Jake better slow his ass down. We ain't doing exclusive in kindergarten now.
So is she, like, worried about the situation, or is she, like...
She's not worried about it. She's just soaking it all up.
Oh, he's mad, concern. But I don't care. Oh, yeah, okay. Well, that's a good thing.
I saw Jake's bio. He likes football and baseball. He wants to be either a police officer or a fireman. And then I saw other pictures where he had some sports stuff on. So I was warming up a little
what
bit.
What if he's a Cowboys fan?
Well, then he's out.
What do you mean he's out?
It's just simple as I guess.
So one day Taylor grows up and she finds a nice young man who happens to be a Cowboys fan.
You know what it tells me? He makes bad decisions. He has good taste in women, but he has bad taste in decisions otherwise.
Oh, see, that's not
that's
right.
Just true.
So you're not going to give her the stamp of approval just because he's a Cowboys fan?
I'm going to give him the stamp of disapproval, and he has to prove me wrong because he's a Cowboys fan. That's what I'm telling you.
Who would be the worst husband ever? A Cowboys fan, a Jets fan, a Packers fan? Probably a Packers fan.
No. Nick, I know you'll never guess this either, but Aaron Rodgers is in Hawaii on vacation.
I saw those pics.
Aaron Rodgers in Hawaii on vacation, according to Mike Greenberg, means that trouble is brewing in Green Bay, the end is near.
He just wants to push the narrative.
I'm going
to
tag him from now on.
Go ahead.
I don't care because everybody's always sensitive about we are ESPN, so should we really go at ESPN guys? I heard Granato taking some shots at some ESPN guys, so I was okay with it then.
We were taking it yesterday at Stephen A.
But yeah, and that too. So I'm not holding back anymore. I said Mike Greenberg should have been a dairy farmer because he's milking this Rodgers story every freaking day, and it's really pissing me off. It's a non-story.
Yeah, it's not a shocker that he's out there. And look, maybe there's a little drama and attention getting by him posting, but I'm not even sure he's the one who posted it. I'm sure it's his fiance or whatever that was posting it.
So his fiance, and evidently they're there, and the guy's an actor too.
There's like another
couple that they're with, and yeah. I guess he's a fairly popular actor. I don't know who he is.
Okay.
But he tweets out with his chick getting ready to sign with the Packers. And then Andrew Brandt, who used to be the legal guy but he's a huge social media following for sports and law.
Uh-huh.
He goes, all it takes is someone like this trying to stir some S up. And I'm like, that's exactly what's going on now. It's all fun and games. Like ESPN's lead for this was Ryan Clark trying to figure out if Aaron Rodgers has abs.
Yeah.
Who cares? Lakers won last night. Big story because it's LA, right? You can talk about that. You can talk about all the NBA playoffs. So many different things that should be the number one story. We're still worried about this. I'm a Packer fan telling you, let it go.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, look, there's no way I'm going to talk about it for 2 or 3 hours. We don't really talk about it. We talk about the fact that whether or not we feel like this particular story is a big deal or not, whether or not Greeny is just pushing this narrative. At the end of the day, Joel, I think you're not going to stop being upset with him. Because he's already sold, like, he's already committed to the bit. You get what I'm saying? And he's so far down the narrative, there's no way he's turning back. This is what he's been pushing basically for how long? I feel like it's been 3 months.
At least. It's been like 6 months.
Yeah.
And then when you hear it's all sensationalism, that a lot of this is just Schefter decided that he assumed he wanted a trade so that they led coincidentally on draft night when ratings would go up to see if the trade was made and it affected draft picks and clicks went up on ESPN because they all wanted to see what was next.
Yeah.
It's all like they're becoming Fox Sports 1. Diana Rossini, you know what her angle was today, Nick?
What?
The Packers actually have the leverage.
Shocker.
No, who cares? You don't know that.
They probably don't. They may or may not. It's hard to really pinpoint in this situation, to be honest. You know what I mean? But the fact that they're making it a story, that's fine. I mean,
every day.
I guess it's a situation where it's like, what moves the needle? Which sport moves the needle in your regard? I guess it's football. They're a national platform. Like, what else would you lead with? I would lead with something. I think there's other national stories.
They just want to be Good Morning Football.
You can bring in Deshaun. You can include Deshaun in a national story every now and then. He's got 22 women.
Hey, Mike Greenberg, if you want to really be Good Morning Football, get yourself a Kay Adams. If you can't get a Kay Adams, quit trying.
I don't like Kay Adams no more, man.
Why?
She don't look the same.
Oh, she still looks better than good.
Agreed. But she don't look the same, though. She did something.
She said the same thing about you.
I wish if she even knew what my name was. Oh, did you see what Jerry Bo tweeted out?
No.
That's what Jake looks like, huh? Jake Blank.
Well, first of all,
Jake Blank.
I would be okay with that if we got to keep the last name.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Well, they do the hyphen thing.
They do the hyphen thing now. That's very common.
Yeah, well.
So it might be blank and then whatever Jake's last name is. You know? So let's say Jake's last name is Palillo, for example. It'd be Jake blank Palillo.
No.
It could be Smith. Jake blank Smith.
No.
He sounds like a fine fellow. I don't think you're giving him a chance.
To you. I haven't closed the door yet, but it's going to be a hard crowbar that opens it up. I shouldn't have
you
said
should
that.
Look, you should, you
we
should
look go
at
to
Jerry,
break.
At look, the producer, Nick. Look at Jerry Bo's tweet, at Pac-Man Joel.
If you guys want to get in on the program, HR&P listener line, 713-780-3776 for calls and texts. Otherwise, Twitch and Twitter. Nick's at the producer, Nick. Could be the a-hole Nick by the end of the day. At Pac-Man Joel with a K. Together for the time being, we're the Press Box, ESPN.
Listening to ESPN 97.5. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, back on the box, just getting it going. First hour of the program. Jerry Bo's having way too much fun with this Jake stuff.
That was fantastic.
Hey, Nick, you know what the true story could be? Jake from Blank Farm.
Ah, I like it.
Uh-huh.
I like it.
Uh-huh. Guess who runs Blank Farm? This guy. So as long as you stay within the boundaries, you can be Jake from Blank Farm. You start messing some stuff up or starting to, you know, I got some stuff for you. You just gotta be
what
careful.
What if this dude, Jake, turns out to be the next, like, he starts the next Amazon or something like that? You're going to regret everything that you just said?
No. No, it's a process. We can still get there.
He starts the next Amazon, but he's a Cowboys fan.
We can still get there. It just might take some time. That's all
okay.
I'm saying.
Okay.
Like I said, the door isn't shut. He's got to do some work to get it open. Because my open door policy has got a bat under the chair and all kinds of weaponry if you piss me off. I'm just letting you know. But I'm not saying that there's anything
wrong
with
the kid. Probably weighs 25 pounds.
Wait till I do the background check. Then we'll start talking about if there's anything wrong with him.
How are you going to do a background check on a five-year-old?
Oh, there's a way.
Is there anything documented about a five-year-old anyway?
I have Woj and Shefty of the kindergarten already in the school. So they're already working on inside scoops for me.
We can do the whole Martin. What was it? Bad Boys. Was it Bad Boys 1 or Bad Boys 2 where the boyfriend came to see Martin's daughter and then Will Smith acted like he just got out of prison? We can enact that. You can get Laminac involved. I mean, we can scare the child if
you
want.
Well, that's the other thing. If I get Barry involved, I got no problems because he's going to roast everything.
If you get Laminac involved, then you're going to traumatize the kid.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants that. No. I had no idea that I guess Charlie Palillo brought this up as a question. Who's the best Lil rapper of all time? And I guess we left out Lil Wayne.
Lil. L-I-L apostrophe. Not little.
Lil. And I didn't realize how much of a success that Lollipop song was. That thing was massive in 2008. 9.1 million copies sold. Apparently, it was the most successful digital single in that year. And his most successful single to date.
Don't you have to narrow it down because there's so many Lils? Like, who would be the top three so that you could narrow down, like,
Lil Wayne, Lil
John. Lil John, Lil Wayne. Wouldn't be Lil Nas X.
It's not Lil Bow Wow no more.
No, and he doesn't want to be Lil
anymore. Yachty, even though a lot of people don't like him. Lil Pump, even though he supported Trump but didn't actually submit the vote.
Are we missing somebody?
Lil John, Lil Wayne,
those are the top
Lil
two.
Pump, Lil Flip for Houston.
Yeah, I thought for some reason I thought there were more, but I guess it's just a two-man race.
Lil Cease, quick search by the way. Lil Dicky.
Oh well, there's your favorite.
Lil Durk, Lil Peep, Lil Cease, Lil TJ. I don't know all of these.
No, that's neither does anybody ranking. Else. That's what I'm saying. I think in terms of notoriety.
Lil Wayne, right?
It's Lil Wayne and then Lil Jon. Although, don't sleep on the fact that Lil Jon had some pretty big hits and multiple hits.
He did. Like like bangers, like club bangers.
Shake It Like a Salt Shake.
Absolutely.
All those. You can start lining them up and going, yeah, I mean, I think notoriety, it's Lil Wayne. I think that song popularity, they could give you a little run.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Another thing I wanted to bring up was the whole – did you hear any of the Cully press conference from yesterday?
Yeah, it was kind of embarrassing.
Kind of, but I've been that guy that, you know, people got mad at me when I said this, that, you know, maybe Cully shouldn't talk. I think he was taking the safe route. I think he actually – he's getting better in terms of dealing with the media. He's still not necessarily good. He still needs more reps. He didn't sound like he was completely comfortable with the situation, but this is what he had to say when asked about Deshaun Watson.
We have nothing more to say. We've talked about the Deshaun situation with Nick and I both and with Cal, and nothing's new on that.
So he has not been to the facility at all?
I have nothing to say about that situation.
By the way, I like the way Sarah Barshop asks questions now. She's way better at it.
Her voice got a little deeper, too.
I didn't know that part, but
maybe. I mean, when we had her on the air, it was a little high-pitched.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, but I mean, not that she, like, never did good work. I just feel like she's more firm when she asks questions. She's not a pushover. Like, she asked the correct questions. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I feel like she's doing really well with it. And look, Cully, I don't know if he's going to be the best guy when it comes down to dealing with the media. But at the same time, him dealing with the Deshaun Watson stuff early on might be good for when the regular season comes by. You know what I mean? Because he knows he's going to get more questions, particularly if Deshaun Watson is not playing.
Now, I heard you guys on the way in playing some of the sound. So you worked with Mr. Taylor at quarterback in Buffalo and Baltimore, but you called him Tyrod.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Because as far as we were told, it's Tyrod.
And I was going to bring that up with Charlie, and I forgot. Is it Tyrod or is it Tyrod?
After Hard Knocks, he went out of his way and came out to the media to tell everybody it was Tyrod.
Well, Cully was not saying that.
He is here at this time right now, and basically he's starting to get in the program. He's been a guy that I've known. I've worked with him before, and I expect him to kind of fall right in with the thing that we're having right now is a competition, and you know he's been there before and been in those particular situations, and I expect him to fall right in and become the same Tyrod Taylor that I've known. When he was in Baltimore early in his career, and then when I was with him in Buffalo.
If you were that close with him, I think you'd call him Tyrod.
Agreed.
And then you got the bite on Deshaun again, because here's the thing that I have a problem with, that I have a problem with Charlie on. You can play first.
We have nothing more to say. We've talked about the Deshaun situation with Nick and I both and with Cal, and nothing's new on that.
So he has not been to the facility at all?
I have nothing to say about that situation.
First of all, we don't need Forrest Gump. That's all I have to say about that. Second of all, is it Deshaun or Deshaun? And third of all, I'm glad you're in the middle of these conversations, because as long as you're there, I know that there's one stable mind in the room when he mentions that you're in with him in the meetings.
Oh, yeah, and I told him not to answer any of those questions, so... We consulted, Cully and I, and I said, look, bro, don't answer any Deshaun Watson questions.
I disagree with Charlie, though. Charlie said, why don't you just say no? You know why? Because it's possible that that would be a lie. It's
correct.
Possible that the media and otherwise didn't know that after hours or at a certain time, Deshaun came to the facility and they met. That was my issue with what Charlie said. I'm like, you don't know that. He might be covering for the fact he has been there.
Absolutely. And that's why I'm actually not mad at the way he approached the media question this time. Because, yeah, clearly he feels uncomfortable. He was nervous. Otherwise, he wouldn't have fumbled Deshaun's name when he said it. You know what I mean? But at the same time, he's taking the safe route. And you know what? For a guy like Cully right now, first time getting an opportunity to be a head coach after all these years being attached to the league, he doesn't want that right now. You know what I mean? You know, I don't think he wants to be, you know, viewed as some fool. He wants to be a guy that's taken seriously, that he is a head coach. You know what I mean? Like that he really wants to win.
You know what, Nick? I said it when this all started going down with both franchises and literally going downhill. The mirror images of both franchises, the Rockets and the Texans, but he's Steven Silas. He didn't sign up for this. This is not what he wanted with his first head coaching gig.
No.
But he got an opportunity and he wasn't going to say no to it. But now, unfortunately, some of the side effects of taking the job are this kind of stuff. And he hasn't had training on this kind of stuff.
No.
And he doesn't have the roster he thought he'd have or the quarterback he thought he had. And so it's, again, another one where it's just like Steven Silas, that's who David Culley is right now, and it's only going to get worse.
I know. And look, I think for him at this point, after, like, I'm sure so many people and so many radio stations and TV stations have isolated so many things that he said over the course of what, the past 2 or 3 months, 4 months, 5 months.
Right.
I think he's probably sick of it. You know, he's never really dealt with anything like that, not to this extent. I think he will be so relieved once he knows for sure whether or not Deshaun Watson will, like, once he could at least settle the media in the sense that, look, yeah, he might not get deposed until 2022. But this is his status, and we can move on from that. And this status is probably not going to change for a while.
Because if it's going to wait till 2022, there's almost no way he can be quarterback for you in 2021.
Yeah.
Because it's unresolved. And the other thing you got to think that he thinks is, hey, look, when I was in Baltimore, we had strong ownership. When I was in Buffalo, we had strong ownership. When I was in Kansas City, we had strong ownership. What the hell am I dealing with now?
Oh, yeah. It's probably night and day now. He probably notices that as well.
David, what's your favorite video game? I'd like to have you into my office. Do you like my bearskin rug? Let's have some Kool-Aid and talk about it.
I had a little tear in my eye.
Because David said he wanted to play video game. Jeez, Cal. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. There's a reason, I guess, I didn't get a J.J. Watt jersey yesterday. All right, half hour into the program. Still 2.5 to go. Did you hear about this, by the way? A.J. and I were talking about it yesterday. J.J. Watt sent out personalized signed jerseys to all the sports media to say thank you.
Oh, where's mine, JJ?
Where's yours? Where's mine? Where's Palillo's? Where's Fred's?
No.
Where's AJ's?
Palillo don't need one. All right, we need one.
Exactly, right? But other people got them.
I'm about to tag JJ Watt right now.
Piss you off when you find out.
So. I know, probably some guy that would, you know, doing that to him the whole damn time.
Who's the hairiest guy you know?
Barry Warner.
Got it. All right, we'll be back. Much more to go in the show. ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on the box, plenty to talk about as we continue to roll forward. Astros tonight open up a 3-game series against the Padres and one of Nick's favorite players, Fernando Tatis Jr., as Framber Valdez will make his season debut, long-awaited at that, for your Houston Astros. So it's a big series as this homestand continues, and we'll at some point get to more of that.
For sure. Did you see Albert Pujols running bases?
It's not pretty. And again, and I wonder just if it's just his knees are so far gone that there's just no saving them, because otherwise, I think I already would have had surgeries to try and do whatever I could. Because it just, I mean.
Maybe, like, he's waiting for retirement.
Did you see during the Astros series, the shortstop for the Dodgers threw it kind of high? He tried to jump off the bag so that he could get into the air a little bit.
Uh-huh.
It was painful to watch, man. He just can't move.
It's, you know what he runs like? He runs like he didn't tighten his belt tight enough. You know what I mean? Like, it's too loose. Like, it's like his pants are about to fall, or maybe something is stuck in his, you know. That's what he runs like, dude. Poor guy. So Charlie sets me up, and he's like, which guy on the staff do you think still could not run faster than Albert Pujols? My first guess was Patrick Creighton. He was like, shots fired. I'm like, well, you asked.
That's not nice.
And then,
so he basically set you up so that he could make you look bad.
Yeah, and then AJ Hoffman, of course, gets in on this and texts me, and he's like, there's no way in hell Fred or Lance could run faster than Albert Pujols. And I was like, you know what? You're probably right.
Uh-huh.
Now, I was going to give Lance a chance. I know for sure Fred can't do it.
So what? Where are we on the injury front with Lance? We have the what is it? Shoulder herpes.
Right, but what is that going to? What does that have to do with him running?
Done. Remember then? Then he had the severe leg injury for falling off the curb.
He did.
Where it was a sprained ankle and more.
Uh huh.
We've seen him walk and power walk in the office, but have we seen him run?
And what's power walking anyway, bro?
True.
But I haven't seen him run, no.
Again, I go back to this, and I've told you this story before. It's one thing to say I can still jog and run as any just average citizen. He's still, Pujols is still a professional athlete.
Oh, yeah.
So he's still, my friends, I've told you this before, my buddies that we all, when we all used to hang with Barkley, with Charles, my friends would constantly look at Charles and we saw what he ate and we knew how much he drank and right. We knew all these other things. So the guys naturally for them started thinking the same thing. I can beat you. I can beat. Two different occasions, two of my stupid friends, one in suicides or up downs. Which is, if you're familiar or not, where you start.
I'm very familiar with suicides. Oh, yeah. Okay.
One said they could beat him in that. After a game, when all the crowd was cleared out of the compact center, we were all kind of shooting around and hanging out. Charles had already played a game. And he goes, let's put this to bed right now. Everybody on the line that thinks they can beat me in suicides. He dusted them. Like, he finished the last one, and the guys were still, like, between half court and the free throw line trying to catch him.
Some people can do that. Some people can just naturally do that, dude.
The other one was, okay, if I can't beat you in suicides, I can beat you in a sprint. We were at Walden on Lake Houston. It was 101 degrees. We played 36 holes of golf. At the end of it, they were still chirping. And we were all in the parking lot getting ready to go home. And Charles said, before we go home, Joel, I want you to march off 100 yards, turn around, put your arms out and your hands up and say, ready, set, go. And you tell me who touches your hand first. I'm like, we're really going to do this? Like 36 holes in 100 degree heat? And the guys were like, oh, we got this. All right. So I marched it off. I turned around. I was like, ready, set, go. 20 yards. He beat him by at least 20 yards.
Wow.
And one guy's he's skinny and in fairly good shape.
Yeah.
My boy Bull, who always thought he was better than him, kind of a bigger guy. So I didn't think I gave him much of a chance anyway.
Yeah.
He just wasted him.
Yeah. But see, some guys can do that. Another guy that did that was Dennis Rodman. Dennis Rodman, if you remember, went on a massive trip to Las Vegas that Phil Jackson actually allowed him to go to in the middle of the season. Now, when he got back, and then I think this was on the Last Dance documentary.
It was.
When he got back, they were doing like this drill where you like had to basically catch up with the first person running in line.
Running laps around the gym.
And Dennis Rodman was never out of shape. And he had just come back from Las Vegas. So Dennis Rodman is another guy that can do that.
You factor in he drank. He smoked cigars.
Yep.
He didn't sleep.
Probably did drugs.
And he did Carmen Electra a whole lot during that vacation. So he's one of those guys, and I don't know that you should say, because everybody says, watch out for a guy that does this. You got to watch out for a guy whose heels never touch the floor. He's constantly on the balls of his feet. It's like he's springy at all times. That's how Rodman is. It looked like he never had his heels touch the floor. He was always kind of bouncing. Even when he walked, he was on the – and those are the kind of guys that can just go and go and go.
Yeah, he always had like a good step to his running. Yep. Like He's just naturally a guy that can get back in shape.
Yeah, his stride was like a gazelle.
That's crazy.
But we said, you know, Charles was – again, there's a reason why they're professional athletes. Charles was just the rare human being. Like, we would go to Vegas – for 5 days every year that he was with the Rockets, 5 days before camp would start, okay? And we went at it for 5 days where all we did was golf, drink, go out to eat, hit all the clubs, come back, do it again.
Fun, but not necessarily healthy.
When we got back to the room, and Charles had Charles always had the massive suite on top of whatever hotel, and a lot of times they came, literally, I said I lived Entourage before Entourage. They would have a butler in the room just to basically take care of Charles and all his guests.
Attend to
you guys.
Because
he lost so much money gambling, they just hand and foot. So he would have a Lazy Susan brought in. And if you don't know what a Lazy Susan is, it's like a roulette wheel for food. It just spins around, okay? So he'd have the Lazy Susan brought in, and it'd be a double-decker. And on the top level would be the desserts. And on the bottom level, it would be fries, burgers, steaks, whatever. At the end of going out, everybody would start spinning that thing and just, and I'm going, and he's eating carrot cake and he's eating burgers and he's eating whatever. I go, bro, you got camp starting when you get back. He goes, little fella, I'll take it all off when we get back to camp.
Little I'm like, fella.
No, well, I can't use the other one because it's racially insensitive. But we get back. Soon as camp starts, he gets those, and Champion made them at the time. But you remember, like, all the professional teams, the Champion hooded sweatshirts and sweatpants were, like, extra thick.
Yeah.
He would go through a three-hour practice in the morning with Rudy. Soon as practice was over, he'd send the ball boys in to get the sweats. He'd put the sweats on. First, he would start doing suicides. Then he'd get on a bike. Then he'd get in the ice tub. Then he'd take a nap.
Oh, no.
Then at night, he'd practice again for a couple hours. Then he'd throw the sweats on. He'd do all of it again. And I'm like, bro, that's so bad for your heart. He goes, I've been doing this my whole career. Okay. He would go from literally about, he would lose about 40 pounds in the first, like, in the month of training camp. It would just gradually just coming off.
Yeah.
It'd be like maybe 20 pounds because maybe he wasn't as big ever in the offseason as he is now
sure,
on TNT.
Sure, sure.
But the fact that he was able to just rip weight off like that too, I'm like, that's not human.
No.
Other humans would have a heart attack doing that.
You have to be built that way. I don't think that's – I remember maybe you can train to the point where you can
genetics.
Do that. That's what I think. I don't think it's something that – and look, maybe if you work hard at your craft and you're always in the gym, maybe you can get to the point where after, if you did this for like, I don't know, like 6, 7, 8 straight seasons in your 20s, then maybe one or two seasons where you just, you know, you went out in the off season and had too much fun. When you come back, it's probably not terrible for you to get back in shape just because you've been doing that your entire life. But I do think, like you say, it's a big, it has everything to do with genetics.
Yeah, or a lot to do with it. Literally some people, you could have a heart attack. You could have, your body could actually shut down because it's such a drastic change from I'm relaxed, I'm eating what I want, and I haven't done anything all summer, and now all of a sudden I'm going 180 miles an hour. That's not good for your heart.
No, it's not good for your heart at all.
All right, you want to get – Michael wants to get in here before we get done with this. Michael, what do you got?
Hey, bro.
What's up, man?
Great to hear from you. Thank you for your show. I was just wanting to ask about the Charles Barkley experience at Auburn University. When he was there with also Frank Thomas, yep, and Bo Jackson.
Yep.
And did he know him? Was he good friends with him? You know, what was his, you know, because these three were great athletes.
Appreciate the call, Michael. There's a documentary, there's a couple documentaries, including one on the return to Auburn of all three guys. So Frank Thomas also played football. Bo Jackson obviously played baseball, so they played sports together. Charles didn't play any of the other sports, but they all came back, and they all give back to Auburn pretty consistently. Barkley's got a statue on campus, and I don't know if they have the – I would assume Bo has one. But they're close in terms of their Auburn relationship, but I don't know. Like, I know Bo and Frank were – more kind of tight-knit because they played two sports together.
Okay. I mean, I would imagine they'd have a statue or something for Bo, right? Never been tied to anything negative.
Who's the greatest athlete to ever come out of Auburn? I think it would be Bo number one.
And unless then, we're missing one, I can't think of one off the top.
Crazy thing is, Bo's not going to be in any Hall of Fame.
Probably not.
And most people would say Bo first before Barkley and Frank Thomas, who are both Hall of Famers.
Well, you can put him in the Tecmo Hall of Fame. That's prestigious.
Fair point. Right. I was watching that documentary that was on ABC this week on Mike Tyson. Remember, he had the boxing one where everybody just threw endorsements at him, and everybody loved that Mike Tyson boxing game.
Yeah, oh yeah, Mike Tyson punchout. Oh yeah, that was a great game.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we'll continue to roll on in the first hour of the program. It is 3 hours long, so there's plenty more opportunities for you to join the program. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line for calls and texts. Otherwise, it's Twitch and Twitter. It's the Press Box, ESPN I-75.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
So, lots of good participation from the usuals, my peeps.
Power walkers or losers.
Yeah, you're getting hammered for the power walk comment. I got a D-bag that listens to us on a daily basis that said, I've told the story before, I guess one of them on Barkley. Don't care. You're still listening. I'm entertaining you. I'm in your head rent-free, so you might as well let me live so that you can pay the rent from your mom for living in the basement. Someone brings up a great point, because we were talking about the whole who's the greatest Lil of all time, and we said Lil Wayne, Lil Jon. Lil Kim's probably third.
In terms of recognition, she's certainly up there, right? But she hasn't been relevant for a very, very, very long time. So maybe that's what hurts her cause a little bit.
But when she was relevant, she did a lot of collaborations. She did her own stuff. She did some sampling and some remixes that also came out big. She was in on the Lady Marmalade with Christina Aguilera and all that, and Patti LaBelle when they remade that song. She did, they remade Ladies Night. And she had, and that was a big hit.
That was a massive hit. I actually like that song.
Yeah, I did too. So, Lil Kim, maybe Lil Troy?
No. Of all time?
I think Lil Kim would be third.
Look, in terms of impact, I have to look at their album sales and stuff like that. But I don't know how. I mean, she certainly was super big and successful in the 90s and early 2000s.
Yep. And someone takes the cake with when we were saying who would be the top Lils. And someone said Lil Caesars. That's absolutely all world. That is the kind of text
of
that I've signed up for and
that.
I like. That was well played, sir or ma'am.
Pizza.
Yeah, so we have those that we've gotten out of the way. And on the subject before we really, because again, we'll dive into all the real sports stuff too, but you were tweeting yesterday and you actually brought up a good point. I watched it after I saw your tweet. But Stephen A. Smith, as we talked about with ESPN becoming clickbait central, from Mike Greenberg to Adam Schefter to Diana Russini. Well, now it's Stephen A. Because now Stephen A. sets you up yesterday for this whole, I'm going to respond. You better make it. I'm going to respond to Kwame Brown. Kwame Brown is going to hear from me on ESPN Plus. Nick tweeted about it. Nick, why don't you take it from there? Because I agree with you.
Well, I mean, he obviously said, he teased it yesterday. I played the Twitter audio yesterday on the show, and he was like, just tune into ESPN Plus. If you think I'm scared, my name is Stephen A. Smith. I'll show you how scared I am. And so he just played a bunch of low lights. He goes out and he defends a lot of people that apparently, he says that Kwame went out and took personal shots at, like Will Bond and Stephen A. And he listed like 3, 4, 5 other people. But why, my whole point is, why does that show you or show the world that you're not scared of Kwame because you did those highlights? All you did was play a bunch of low lights of him missing passes. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's all you did.
Right.
And I didn't really get that much of a kick out of
it. The thing to me is that he took the high road whether he wants to admit it or not, because focusing just on basketball, he stayed out of the smoke that was really kind of back and forth, which Matt Barnes was kind of, well, Kwame stirred it, and then Matt Barnes responded to it.
He went personal. He said Matt Barnes didn't, but he did.
He did, and then Matt Barnes, who always talks tough, and I don't need the text again about the fact that he was practicing MMA for a while and everything like that. Kwame's a big dude, and we talked about that. So here's the thing. He says, come at me, bro. Come on, if you want some, come get some. Come on my podcast. No, that's not what Kwame's talking about. He's not talking about another podcast.
No.
He's talking about throwing fists.
Yeah. And that's what Stephen A. Smith should not do.
He has no business doing that, right?
Absolutely not.
So that's why when he just wants to bash Kwame and show his lowlights, that's not what this was all about. This dude was minding his own business, just enjoying life. And oh, by the way, he's made like over $60 million in his career. So regardless of whether he was stealing money or not, he got a lot of it.
Yeah.
So he was just minding his own business. But at a certain point, when people keep piling on, you want to respond.
Now, he did have one good point to Stephen A. Smith's defense is, look, you're a basketball player, and you're a basketball player in a league that's there for public display. And so once you are in the public and it's there for public display, right, analysts and media members and everybody else are allowed to comment on that and criticize that. That's what makes it okay. Now, if they say you are a bust and your whole family sucks or something like that, now you've made it personal. But if you just say you're a sucky player or you're a bad player, that's not making it personal. So to a certain extent, he did have a little bit of an argument. It's just a tough guy thing that I think is a little weird, but whatever. But yeah, I would imagine this feud is going to get over with at some point, unless they just keep going. It's just going to, if it elongates any longer, Joel, it's just going to look petty anyway.
Yeah, because you know what? I think everything that you could have said about Kwame Brown has been said. All right. And if they're not going to fight, now, Nick, I will say this. You want to see us, we talk about these, the sensationalism of non-boxing or MMA celebrities getting in the ring and making it a very financially positive experience.
Sure.
You put Matt Barnes and Kwame Brown in a ring, it's going to sell.
It's done. Well, that's the trend. That's the trend. Because some of these fighters are going to think that they can fight. Some of these old school, like, tough guys are going to think they can still. Like, when you're a tough guy in your 20s and 30s, guess what? You're not so tough when you get up there in age. And then you still want to fight kids that are 20, 25 years old. I don't know if that's a good look, bro, or a good move, or a good decision.
Right.
But that's just the way it is. That's just the way. I mean, I could think about it. Like I don't know. Who's a friend of Mario Elie? Doesn't he hate? Who does he hate? Danny Ainge?
Oh, yeah.
I think that's kind of a
niche audience. I think that would be Rockets fans and Suns fans, maybe.
Ron Artest and the fan he punched in the Malice in the Palace.
Yeah, but not. It would have to be Ron Artest and somebody other than the
who
fan.
Who did Ron Artest hate?
I know who he started out hating when he was a Rocket, and then it changed. But Kobe Bryant, and we can't do that one, obviously. But
no.
I've never told that story in full, but Ron Artest during that playoff series against the Lakers, when he meant that he was ticked at Kobe, it wasn't like it was going to end on the court. Like, after that game, he was trying to get Rocket staffers and otherwise to get them Kobe's home address. Like, that's where Ron was sometimes.
Really?
Yeah, that's how intense Ron could get.
He wanted to go find Kobe, huh?
And Ron was the Golden Gloves boxing champion of New York when he was growing up.
Had no idea.
Ron was... like, if you slapped Ron on the back after we did an interview or something like that, and I'd be like, thanks a lot, man. Slapped him on the back and the shoulder. It felt like you were slapping a brick wall. I mean, dude was, he was always in the weight room, too. I don't think he got enough credit for that. For as much as there was like, Ron's kind of aloof and he would do these
things. Oh, for sure. He had issues with his.
But yeah, he was strong and he was in the weight room, and that dude was not one to be messed with either.
Did not know about the Golden Gloves thing, so he can throw hands. So he's big, strong, and he can throw some
and
hands.
And also a really good dude. I don't think enough people get it, give a nudge. So one year we had a corporate event at the Rockets, at the building, in the restaurant, where it was like wine and you know, food, and everybody was kind of mingling, and then they were supposed to go down by the court. Well, the whole team was there, and no, except for Ron. And, you know, each player is supposed to be sitting with a key sponsor. So Ron's table is empty at the start of the dinner, and everybody's wondering where he is. The PR staff's going crazy. He was working out in the gym, and they told him he felt so bad that he didn't go home and shower. He didn't change clothes. He walks into this high-class event at the building where everybody's dressed up in suits and dresses and things, in his Sacramento Kings sweats, sits down at his table, and offers to buy whatever bottle of wine everyone at the table wanted as his apology, and stayed there the rest of the night. Dude,
wow.
A lot of people can criticize Ron Artest. He's got a lot of good qualities.
Well, a lot of people probably don't know that story.
That's right.
Well, I mean, I guess they can only judge based on what they see, and what they saw with Ron Artest is what he did on the court. Now, not every situation was like the Malice in the Palace, but that probably stuck on his back for quite some time. You know?
Yeah, and you know, someone...
I didn't know he was that good of a dude. I didn't think he was necessarily a bad dude. I mean,
really good dude. Just a little different. But it's still, in a lot of ways, a really good dude. Now, someone texted in, who texts the show every day 18 times. Joel, have you witnessed professional players meet after a game to fight? Did they? Yeah, I have witnessed it. And sometimes it's kiboshed quickly, and sometimes it's all the way into the parking garage at the buses, and sometimes, as we've seen even with the Rockets, with the back exits to locker rooms.
But did it really get out of hand all the time?
Trevor Ariza went into the Mavs locker room looking for Sal Mejri or whatever that guy's name was that crossed the line with Ariza. There's been, at the bus, there has been some incidents. And I also know people that worked at other teams that I didn't personally witness, but I was told stories where, like, even Carmelo Anthony guys, but also guys that we knew had a quick trigger. They weren't done with it, and they were waiting in the back hallway. They were waiting at the buses. They were waiting near the cars. It's not unheard of.
Well, I remember when they were talking about a police presence and your boy Charles Barkley and Shaq were laughing their asses off at
They're
him.
Laughing at the incident. The they don't believe these two guys.
Shaq and Charles laughing.
I know why you're laughing. Hey, I played in the NBA for 16 years. And I've been on TV for 18 years. It's the first time I ever heard police presence. Wait. They got a police presence? Are you kidding me?
But that's not to say, though, that without the police presence, that there weren't guys that were trying to fight. Because I know that Zach Randolph was one of them. Where Zach Randolph, and I think it might have been with Carmelo, where it spilled over. And Zach Randolph was waiting at the bus for Carmelo to come down the ramp to get on the bus to get out of town. Like, basically, before you leave, we're settling this.
But did the cops ever get involved?
I mean, you got security everywhere. You don't have cops, per se. You've got building security, like we saw with the Astros thing. So you've got people that are, like, escorting the players to the buses and stuff.
Okay.
But, look, more times than not, do NBA players want to fight? No. But there's also a handful or so that we highlight from time to time where
they're known to be
they're ready to throw hands. So you just have to take that into consideration. All right, when do you want to do this giveaway, Nick? We got a giveaway coming up next hour, right?
Oh, yeah, we're supposed to. We can do it now if you want.
You want to do it now?
Sure.
All right, let's do it right now.
Over this
you guys
want
to go see the AAA Skeeters? That's right. Like, right next to the Astros in terms of the type of talent you're going to see. And we've got tickets for this weekend's games. So these tickets are for tomorrow's game. They will be left in will call. And all you got to do is be caller 10 right now, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Caller 10, four-pack of tickets, Saturday night's Sugarland Skeeters game, Constellation Field, beautiful ballpark against the Albuquerque Isotopes. First 1,500 fans get an Alex Bregman intentional walk bobblehead just for showing up. Tickets, if you don't win them, just $15. It's where they start. Just go to SugarlandSkeeters.com. Get your seats now. SugarlandSkeeters.com. Caller 10, you get four tickets right now.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.